Call today.
This is Free Talk Live, and it's your show. You can take control of the airwaves toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the packet8.net toll-free line for you, 1-800-259-9231. Ian here with you.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, where all the features are totally free. That, once again, is freetalklive.com. Of course, we've been talking, as many people have this week, about the Don Imus controversy. As we reported to you last night, Don Imus was canned from his MSNBC simulcast of his show. And as of today, he's been fired from CBS Radio. So he's lost his television gig, and he's lost his radio gig within the last 48 hours. All as a result of saying one phrase on his national radio show last week.
Yeah. I
think it's a little bit extreme. I don't think that this is necessarily appropriate, but it's certainly, I guess this is the market in action, huh? I mean, this is what the market has decided to do, because the feds weren't involved
nope.
in this.
There
was no government threats here.
You know, and it does show how people are, companies and people are more scared of bad news than they are of good news, because Don Imus got all kinds of support on his show. He was doing a telethon for, crippled kids today that he does every year. He's raised $40 million. I want to know how many millions of dollars Al Sharpton or Reverend Jesse Jackson have donated to children's charities. He was raising money, and he got fired, you know, on the day that he's doing a telethon. To me, it's baffling. Mm. But, you know, I don't know. It's just amazing to me.
Well, according to CBS News, their own report with the AP, CBS announced today that it has fired Don Imus from his radio program following a week of uproar over the radio host's derogatory comments about the Rutgers women's basketball team. Now, I doubt that this article mentions what the contract stipulations are, because in a contract like Don Imus would have, there's early termination penalties.
Right.
So if they're firing Don Imus...
Not a contract like we would have.
No. He's probably cashing in.
Yeah.
He's probably getting several hundred thousand dollars, if not more, out of this firing.
Oh, I would think, yeah, more than several hundred thousand dollars.
There has been much discussion, this according to CEO Leslie Moonves. Quote, there's been much discussion of the effect language like this has on our young people, particularly young women of color, trying to make their way in this society. That consideration has weighed most heavily on our minds as we made this decision. It's a stunning fall for one of the nation's most prominent broadcasters. Time magazine once named the cantankerous broadcaster as one of the most 25 influential people in America, and he's a member of the National Broadcaster Hall of Fame. But Imus found himself at the center of a storm after he called members of the Rutgers team nappy-headed hoes last week. Protests ensued, and one by one, numerous sponsors pulled their ads from Imus's show. On Wednesday, MSNBC dropped its simulcast of the program. Losing Imus will be a financial hit to CBS Radio, which also suffered when shock jock Howard Stern departed for satellite radio early last year. The program's worth about $15 million in annual revenue to CBS, which owns Imus's home radio station, WFAN, and manages Westwood One, the company that syndicates the show across the country.
Mm.
So a lot of radio stations are going to be looking for some new morning shows soon.
Yeah. Maybe we should switch to mornings.
No.
No, that would suck. No, thanks.
But, you know, this is how it works. Somebody just disappears. They just, for whatever reason, bail out or leave the game, and there's a slot open, and it's an opportunity for somebody else.
Right. The understudy gets to give it a shot.
Reverend Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson met with Les Moonves to advocate Imus's removal, promising a rally outside CBS headquarters Saturday in an effort to persuade more advertisers to abandon Imus. The chairman of CBS Corp's board said that he'd expected Moonves to do the right thing, although it wasn't clear what that was. The news came down in the middle of Imus's radiothon. As you mentioned, it has raised more than $40 million since 1990 for good causes. The radiothon had raised more than $1.3 million Thursday before Imus learned that he had lost his job.
Mm.
He said, quote, this may be our last radiothon, so we need to raise about $100 million, he cracked at the start of the event.
Right.
Volunteers were getting more than 200 more pledges per hour than they did last year, with most callers expressing support for Imus. So that's interesting. Even amidst all the controversy, the Imus fans really digging extra deep, essentially, and and contributing more than they ever had.
I would think that they would in these circumstances. You know, there's the guy that they like is being attacked, and that's how it generally goes. I mean, you know, people rally around and support when you're under fire.
Ima said he didn't attack MSNBC for its decision, saying, quote, I understand the pressure they were under, but complained that the network was doing some unethical things during the broadcast. He didn't elaborate. Sharpton says, it is not about taking Imus down. It's about lifting decency up. And
but it, to him, it is about taking Imus down. That's what he said.
Yeah.
You know, it would be one. It's not as though he didn't apologize. It's about taking Imus down. It's about, you know, burning an effigy, somebody who would say such a thing. I don't see the point. I mean, Imus lost just got a great little severance package from CBS, and if he wanted to be on the air Monday morning, he could be. You believe me, somebody will pick up Imus.
That's kind of where I was going to go with this, is that Tom Taylor, editor of trade publication Inside Radio, says Imus still has a lot of support among radio managers across the country, many of whom grew up listening to him, according to Mr. Taylor. So, I don't know. The question is, how long is it going to be before he pops up again? It's not going to be next week. Nobody, I don't think anybody's going to take the potential heat of grabbing Don, and there's probably some sort of an agreement in his contract or a clause in his contract that may actually stipulate that he can't go and work for anybody else for a period of time. So who knows what the details are behind the scenes. Odds are good. Things will cool down a little bit, and then somebody will hire him again. He'll probably make it into a smaller market because, I mean, he's in New York City. You can't get any bigger than that. He'll probably show up in a Washington, D.C. or something like that because he has a lot of political guests on his show, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So probably would work. Sort of like the Grease Man. He sort of, I don't know if you know even the name.
No, I don't.
He offended somebody a few years ago. He was one of the bigger national talk show hosts. And he offended somebody. I don't even remember what the issue was. He disappeared and once again was rehired by a station in Washington, D.C. He's nowhere now compared to where he used to be, but he's still on the air, still doing radio. So the question is, do you think Don Imus is going to come back because he's 65 years old?
And looks like he's 85.
Is he going to throw in the towel? Is he just going to retire and enjoy the rest of his life and put all this stuff behind him? Or is he going to go and give it another shot on radio?
It's a hell of a way to end his radio career. I mean, he's in the Radio Hall of Fame or whatever you said there. He's a big deal. It's a shame that he has to go out like this. But, you know, it would be so difficult to rebuild his career at this point. You know, start off in, say, D.C. or San Francisco or some market like that. And then build his clientele again. I'm sure that a lot of stations would want to carry him just because of the name, but it would still take some time.
800-259-9231. You've got an email about the Imus controversy, or actually is it a blog post or something? I'm not sure what you have, but you've got something. We'll get to it, but Eddie in Ohio is on the line. Eddie, you're on Free Talk Live.
Can you hear me?
Gotcha. What's on your mind?
Hey, you can hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what this is? I mean, you can tell me I'm wrong, but this is what's called conditioning for hate speech laws. People's feelings are being hurt, and I listened on the radio on 93.1, I forget what radio station it was, but the mother brought her 6-year-old daughter on the radio about how horrible this was, and her daughter's crying. But it's like people are being encouraged to say, oh, you've hurt my feelings so bad, I'm crying and I can't take it.
Yeah, it's really
sad.
This
is hate speech. This isn't free speech. And this is what's happened in Canada, that you're not allowed to speak the truth or your true feelings about anything if you're going to hurt somebody's feelings, because you'll go to prison for 2 years.
You know, Eddie, I think you're onto something here, because there's a quote on the front page of the Drudge Report from Al Sharpton. Here's what he said. It is our feeling that this is only the beginning. We must have a broad discussion on what is permitted and not permitted in terms of the airwaves. Now, he's not out. He's not out and out calling for federal government.
Incrementalism is what it is.
Yeah, he's talking about some regulations. He's not calling for them quite yet, but he's saying that we need to talk about regulating what people can and can't say.
I think we should call it the Sharpton Bill.
Yeah. Eddie, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 800-259-9231. More about Imus, freedom of speech, freedom to offend, and the fact that you are not free to not be offended. If you don't like it, turn it off. That's the way it should work. Unfortunately, if some of these people get their way, it looks like we might have hate speech laws coming to America. Ugh.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Government is best, which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at libertystickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community. Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626. And express your freedom of speech today. Call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. The basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. And you'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com. This is Free Talk Live, and it's your show. You bring up what you want toll-free at 800-259-9231. The packet 8.net toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. And it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us online at freetalklive.com, where all the features are completely free, including archives and entire year's worth of the shows. Right there on the front page of the website for your downloading convenience. Just go and get them for free at freetalklive.com. and the Free State Project's Porcupine Freedom Festival, better known as Porkfest, is June 18th through the 24th. At Porkfest, you'll be able to talk with New Hampshire natives and those who've made the move, socialize with hundreds of fellow activists and lovers of liberty, hear and discuss the progress and the future of the Free State Project. Register today at porkfest.com. That's P-O-R-C-F-E-S-T.com. Once again, our number is 800-257-259-9231. So we're talking about the Don Imus situation. A lot of people are upset as a result. The companies that were behind the show, MSNBC, they started losing advertisers. MSNBC dumped the show yesterday. Today, CBS Radio has also dumped his show. So as of presumably tomorrow, I haven't seen any sort of parameters around the firing. So I don't know if he's got like the rest of the week to finish his shows out. It sounds like he's done.
It sounds that way to me, too.
So, I don't know if you've got more to say on this. 800-259-9231 is the toll-free number. But there was an email or a web post or something like that. You had some sort of a story on this, Mark.
Yeah, it's an article.
Another man's opinion. And I guess another black gentleman's opinion.
Yes, that's the impression I get. Imus isn't the real bad guy. Instead of wasting time on irrelevant shock jock, black leaders need to be fighting a growing gangster culture. Thank you, Don Imus, from Jason Whitlock. Thank you, Don Imus. You've given us, black people, an excuse to avoid our real problem. You've given Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson another opportunity to pretend the old fight, which is now a safe and lucrative fight, is still the most important fight in our push for true economic and social equality. You've given Vivian Stringer and Rutgers the chance to hold a nationally televised recruiting celebration, expertly disguised as a news conference, to respond to your poor attempt at humor. Thank you, Don Imus. You extended Black History Month to April. We can now once again wallow in victimhood, protest like it's 1965, and, I've just lost my place, and delude ourselves into believing that fixing your hatred is more necessary than eradicating our self-hatred. Actually, our interview is on the line. I screwed it up and I gave him the wrong number, and so he's there.
Oh, I wasn't informed of that.
I asked, and he's there.
Oh, well, okay.
Paul Wilson, are you there?
I guess we're going to an interview, then. We'll continue the Imus thing in a little bit.
I've been an Imus listener for forever.
Have you? What do you think about the controversy?
The hypocrisy that's going on out there and the selective outrage just it's infuriating. I mean, you know, I happened to hear that remark. My clock radio goes off to him at 6 a.m. every morning, and it's one of those things where I said, how does he get away with this stuff? And
apparently he didn't.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, saying it about those girls, I think, was the problem. If it had been a public figure, you know, I think everybody would have just brushed it off.
I would say in retrospect that that's the case, but he talks about a lot of sports figures, and
he's on a sports station.
Yeah, well, he is.
Yeah, professional sports figures, I consider them, you know, public figures.
Yeah.
But, I mean, college girls, that's a whole different
He did them some a favor though. I never have heard of Rutgers University's women's basketball team. If you'd have asked me, I'd have said I don't know if they have one or not.
They were in the national finals.
No, they may very well have been, but I didn't know it. I know that it was a big deal, but this whole Imus thing brought it to my attention. I didn't know they existed. So, I mean, they got some additional, play out of it, a lot of additional play out of it. A lot of people feel very badly for the girls. They got an Oprah. Who can say that? I haven't been on Oprah. I've got my own national radio show.
Right. Now, since you do have your own national radio show, Mark, let me, as the host, the main host of the show, give you a few tips on how to bring a guest on the air. We've sort of just run straight into an issue with the gentleman that's on the phones. And
yes.
Honestly, I don't even know
who
we're talking
to. That's right. Who the hell is this guy?
So, Paul, who the hell are you?
Who the hell am I? Oh, I'm an author.
An author? Yeah. And you've written, I can't tell how many books. There's a whole bunch of them.
35, 7 books, you know. I mean, I used to know Ike Asimov, and he would say, oh, I just finished book 437. He had them all in his head. But,
wow.
Yeah, after a while, you know, and you're contracted for a book a year, you just write that book a year, and you don't count them. It's just, but, you know, I passed the 35 mark, I know that.
Now, I couldn't tell you. I've read two of your books. I like them very much, and having a my own radio show, I get to bring on authors that I like. Now, they're fiction, but beyond that, I can't say that there's much corollary between the two books other than the politics of the books. What kind of author would you call yourself?
I consider myself a thriller writer.
Thriller. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've written horror thrillers, science fiction thrillers, medical thrillers, political thrillers, and... But, you know, I use the thriller structure, you know, the multiple viewpoint type of thing. And the
what viewpoint?
Multiple viewpoint, where there's more than one character that you're experiencing the book through.
So you go one chapter, you'll be on one character. The next chapter, you'll be maybe you'll be talking about the bad guy from his perspective.
Exactly, exactly.
Gotcha.
And in a thriller, basically, the reader knows more than any of the characters. Whereas in a mystery... The reader doesn't know any more than the detective.
Till the very end.
Yeah.
And then it's all revealed.
Right. So basically, you are following the mystery, and you are learning as the characters are learning, whereas in a thriller, you're seeing it from all different points. And that kind of a structure I'm very comfortable with, and I like that better because, you know, I can really build suspense because you can see somebody heading towards the same intersection as... You know, the bad guy's heading for the same intersection as the good guy, and that type of thing, so you can build suspense that way.
Now, the books that I've read of yours are the Lanang Chronicles, which is a science fiction book,
and the
Tomb, which is I would just call it a thriller. You know, it's probably the best way to describe it. They were given to me by a listener, a guy named Mike, and, you know, thanks very much for that. But... The thing that sort of draws them together is your politics. There's lots of people out there that write lots of good... you know, science fiction books. I haven't asked them to be on the show. It seems to me that you must be a pretty darn principled libertarian.
Yeah, I started off I went to Georgetown in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And Washington, D.C. was in huge foment at the time. And I was a guy without a home. You know, if I went and hung out with the lefties and started talking about, you know, maybe a gold standard,
right,
and a laissez-faire economy, you know, they would just kick me out.
Right.
And I'd hang out with some of the, you know, there were the young Republicans and the young conservatives and stuff, and I would hang out with them and start talking about legalizing prostitution and drugs, and they'd be holding up crosses. So I had no home, and it was, and there weren't many people like me out there.
I wouldn't think there were, and I'm going to ask you a little bit more about sort of your growth in the libertarian movement when we get back.
Okay, great. This is, we're talking with F. Paul Wilson. He is apparently a libertarian thriller author, and you may be familiar with his books. If you've got a question for him, 800-259-9231. That's the toll-free number. You can take control of the airwaves. I want to know what the F stands for. More on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
It's a fact. You can legally eliminate credit card debt, which has been fraudulently created by the banks. Since its creation in 1913, the Federal Reserve has not been held responsible for its own debt. So why should you, the hardworking American, be harassed for yours? There's a double standard when it comes to being responsible for debt, and unlike the Federal Reserve, the people of this country can't print more money when needed. Day of Jubilee has created a successful program designed for people that want to stop harassing calls and threatening letters from bill collectors. This is not a debt consolidation company. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their credit card debt instead of living each day in fear. It's time to turn your life around. Call Day of Jubilee, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time at 920-293-8024. That's 920-293-8024, and ask for Robert. Don't wait any longer to get your life back in order.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the total transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
What's better than a tiny tiger in your tank? A tornado under your hood. A tornado is an easy-to-install, maintenance-free air twister designed to increase gas mileage. I personally commissioned independent tests to verify results in 6 vehicles, and all of them gained MPG with tornado. With today's gas prices, it makes sense to cage the gas-saving power of a tornado. Visit tornadoair.com or go to Pep Boys, Napa, or AutoZone today.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live, and it's your show. You bring up what you want toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the Packet 8.net toll-free line for you, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
You can join us online at freetalklive.com, where all the features are completely free, including live streams. There's a broadband version of the show and a dial-up version as well for your listening pleasure for free at freetalklive.com. And do you enjoy building things? Well, woodcraftblands.com has hundreds of blueprints for things like lawn chairs, rocking horses, yard shadows, fine furniture, and more. Step-by-step instructions and full-size patterns guide all skill levels. Woodcraftblands.com supports Free Talk Live, so please support woodcraftblands.com. That's woodcraftblands.com. And Mark has apparently set up an interview for us tonight with an author. And I guess he's one of your favorite authors, right?
Well, I don't know about favorite all time. I've just started reading the last couple of books by F. Paul Wilson. And I have enjoyed them greatly. And they're also sort of a libertarian genre. Libertarian radio show. Made sense to bring him on, you know?
You said that that he was a principled libertarian. And Mr. Wilson, would you agree with that description?
I'm not sure what that means.
Well,
I'm libertarian, you know, just
well, these days you have to, I mean, these days apparently there are different things. I'm of the libertarian mold where you're only a libertarian if you reject the initiation of force. Apparently these days the word libertarian has been adopted by others who do accept the initiation of force in certain areas. People that just want to label themselves as libertarian to be cool. So that's sort of, I guess, where I'm coming from on this.
Yeah, no, I go back to the old objectivist school where, you know, you're right to swing your fist ends at someone else's nose.
Well, you see, we had a different author on not too long ago. Terry Goodkind was on the show, and he described himself as an objectivist and then went on to talk about invading Iraq and killing Islam and all sorts of horrible, very unlibertarian things. So objectivism apparently doesn't necessarily lead one to liberty.
Well, I mean, that, but basically where I came from, that was all there was.
Right. It was all, 1965, they were all in one camp. Now they've sort of splintered. For instance,
there was no libertarianism with a capital L back then.
Right. There wasn't a party back then. How could there be?
No.
So tell me how it's affected your career. I mean, obviously, you've been a libertarian for a very long time. I sort of found it in the last few years. How's it affected your career throughout the years? Have you faced any kind of discrimination based on your political beliefs? Do people that read your novels that are sort of reading them from the science fiction angle, not from the libertarian angle, are they surprised by the sort of the worlds that you create?
There are a lot of libertarians in science fiction. That's why one of the reasons Heinlein is so popular.
Mm-hmm.
And The Moon is the Heart's Mistress is an excellent example of a really libertarian novel.
Okay.
With the, he invented, Tan Staffel, in that novel.
What's that? The character?
It's an acronym that means there ain't no such thing as a free lunch.
I see.
And, if you haven't read that novel, it's absolutely wonderful. It lays out, libertarian principles beautifully, but without preaching. It just shows them at work.
Now, that's Heinlein, what is it?
Robert A. Heinlein. The Moon is a Harsh Mistress.
I see.
Yeah, that's certainly gotten accolades in the past from many other libertarians. Now, why is it you think that is, that the sci-fi genre attracts so many libertarian authors?
Because you can extrapolate, if this goes on, so you can make a dystopia, in a sense that you would wish there was libertarianism. And you can also just show how libertarianism might work. Trouble is, a lot of them get very preachy.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely tried to avoid that. I tried to embed it in the story.
Right.
And I'm not out to convert people to libertarianism.
Right.
I'm a libertarian. That's my worldview. When I write a book, it's going to seep in. But I'm not there to change your mind.
Right. The book better be entertaining first and foremost, if you're going to get people to even hear the principles.
But I mean, like my character, Repairman Jack.
He's awesome.
In the tomb. Yeah, he's been called the Libertarian's Wet Dream.
Well, Repairman Jack, if I could just briefly, Repairman Jack sort of lives off the grid. Mm-hmm. He has no social security number. He, buys gold coins, that kind of thing.
He's like some of our listeners.
He's often, like a lot of our listeners.
Yeah. Right, yeah, he's never filled out a 1040.
Right.
And he has no social security number. He grew up in a time when, it wasn't until like the mid-80s where you really had to have one, I think.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Sort of as a kid, there came a point where when your child was born, you had to get him a social security number.
Right. When I was a kid, kids didn't necessarily have social security numbers. I was born in 1971, and you had to get one to work by the time you were 16, but you weren't necessarily given one at birth.
Right. And the thing is, and the only reason I ever got one when I was a kid was that I was, I had hired on at this bottle cap factory, mm-hmm. making bottle caps, and I needed a social security number for them to give me a check. But the thing is, before that, I had mowed lawns, and I had worked with a landscaper who paid cash,
mm-hmm.
and I never needed one for that.
Yeah.
So, I was part of an underground economy without really knowing it.
Hmm.
But getting back to what you said, I think libertarianism lends itself very well to science fiction. Not well to what I do. I do paranormal thrillers with Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And, but see, it's his lifestyle that sort of gives the libertarian, that's the conduit for the libertarian view.
Right. It's very unique the way you present it to people with with his lifestyle.
Yeah, I guess it is. But my whole idea is I don't want to hit you over the head because I think I can influence you better if I show you rather than tell you.
I would agree with that.
Right, you want to tease people along, right? Just sort of give them a little bit more. And so
the thing is, when I show you something, it's like the thing where the author tells the reader, he's the cheapest man in town. Okay, the reader, that's just passive acceptance.
Right. You've got to show him how cheap he is.
When you show him stealing pennies out of the little change thing by the cash register, and stick them in his pocket.
Take now, a penny, then take them all.
The reader has made the decision. And the reader is now a participant in the story.
Mm-hmm.
They have invested in it because they have now contributed. And so it sounds like, juggling words, and it sounds like it's a bunch of gobbledygook. But the thing is, that really works in fiction. And you make the reader part of the story because they've now participated. And that's the way I try to write. For all things, not just for the libertarian aspects, but get the reader to participate in the story.
So the Repairman Jack is a series of books. How many different Repairman Jack books are there out there?
Here we go. I just finished number 11.
Wow.
Which will be out in October.
Would that be your longest running series of any?
The longest running series I had before this was three books.
Now, Repairman Jack premiered in the 80s, and I got the impression he wasn't, an old man. He's maybe 30 years old or something like that in the 80s. Is he progressively aging, or are you sort of keeping him at the same age?
Well, what I did, I fudged it. Basically, I wrote the first book, The Tomb, in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I had finished it, I said, this is a serious character. I mean, people are going to want to see. I just knew people were going to want more of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to do a series character. I had already had the next two books written in my head. They didn't involve him.
Mm-hmm.
So I left him dying at the end.
Right.
I didn't kill him. I left him dying.
Right.
And the thing is, the book never went out of print.
Wow. People kept buying it.
And so year after year after year, there were more readers and more people. Back then you had to write letters.
Right.
writing me. And saying, bring him back, bring him back, bring him back.
Clamoring for more Repairman Jack.
Yes.
Now, Repairman Jack's venturing into a very exciting area, and we're going to talk about that when we get back.
Okay, 800-259-9231. We're on with F. Paul Wilson. He is a self-proclaimed libertarian author of science fiction / thriller type books. 800-259-9231 is the toll-free number. If you've got a question for him, you best get on the line. This is your show. It is Free Talk Live.
Do you like to build things? Have you ever cut wood with a tool? Are you tired of poor quality goods found in the Megalomart? If you answered yes to any of these questions, WoodCraftPlans.com has a fun project for you to make. We have hundreds of blueprints and patterns which can help all skill levels of craftspeople make wooden lawn furniture, bedroom furniture, yard decor like wishing wells and shadow figures, rocking horses, and a lot more. Visit WoodCraftPlans.com today. Get a plan and start building. That's WoodCraftPlans.com.
There are many paths you can take in the pursuit of liberty. The fastest avenue to real political change is being paved by the Republican Liberty Caucus. Join Representatives Ron Paul, Jeff Flake, and dozens of state legislators in advancing the ideals of individual rights, limited government, and private enterprise within the GOP. The Republican Liberty Caucus, online at rlc.org. That's rlc.org. Your path to liberty.
Summer is once again just around the corner, and as usual, so are higher gas prices. This year, stop taking it on the chin and start fighting back. Ethos FR, a product tested and found worthy by NBC and Fox News, can save you up to 19% on fuel and reduce emissions by up to 30%. Unlike other products and gadgets you've seen advertised, Ethos FR attacks the source of the problem, unburned fuel. You see, exhaust is essentially unburned fuel that's expelled from your tailpipe. That equates to toxins being released into the environment and dollars being released from your wallet. But with Ethos FR, fuel burns more completely, helping your engine to deliver better mileage and helping you to save money. And it's so easy to use. Simply pour a couple of ounces into your tank at every fill-up, and you're on your way to saving money and the environment. So, do yourself and the environment a favor and visit ctsavegas.com to get your bottle today. That's ctsavegas.com.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here. I want you to imagine waking up one morning to find out you've been burglarized. An intruder has taken your personal possessions. credit card numbers, social security cards, banking information, and more, all in the hands of a total stranger. What's worse is you realize he got it through your front door because you left it unlocked. Every time you walk away from your computer, leaving your internet connection on, you are virtually inviting hackers, criminals, and Big Brother to access your personal information. Put a stop to this right now with the Net7 Network Security Switch from Net7 Technologies. Turn your internet on and off with one simple switch. There's no software to load, and it's so easy to install. Right now, you can order your Net7 Security Switch from Net7 Technologies for only $39.95. For a limited time, receive free shipping with your order. Visit net7tech.com. That's net, the number 7, tech.com, and start protecting yourself today.
Attention gardeners, this is an urgent GCN self-reliance update. GCN has just discovered a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's so effective at producing rapid plant growth that it seems to almost force plants to grow like crazy under practically any soil and light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of sea nutrients maximizes mineral uptake and dramatically increases bloom set, creating maximum plant growth in minimum time. ProtoGrow works by providing geometric keys, which have the capacity to actually unlock the genetic code for nutritional uptake in plants. ProtoGrow's full-spectrum plant fertility means fruits and vegetables with extraordinary taste and up to 10 times the nutritional value. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. GCN listeners, you want to grow dirt cheap superfoods, should visit the ProtoGrow website at growlikecrazy.com. That's www.growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. Bring up what you want toll-free at 800-259-9231. That is the Packet8.net toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features there are totally free, though we do ask you to voluntarily support the show by going and voting for the show at vote.freetalklive.com, something that takes only a moment but makes a big difference, because the more votes we have, the higher we are on the podcast rankings at podcastalley.com. Last month, we finished the month at number one. We can do it again with your vote. If you go to vote. freetalklive.com. As we go back to F. Paul Wilson, libertarian thriller author, some, I presume, bestsellers. Have you had any bestsellers, F. Paul Wilson?
Oh, yeah. The Tomb was top 10 on the New York Times. The Keep was top 10. And the Last Repairman Jack novel, they were both in paperback. Mm-hmm. The Last Repairman Jack novel made the New York Times list in hardcover. Was the first time I've ever been on in hardcover.
Wow, that's pretty significant.
You're selling a lot of books to do that.
So, Mark, you had a line of questioning that you were going on. Do you want to continue that?
I was just, just trying to find out how libertarianism has affected your career throughout the years. Have people said, this has changed my life? Do people get introduced to libertarianism?
As a matter of fact,
I bet they have.
Yes, and it's scary. because then, as the Chinese say, now you are responsible for that person's life. Now people have read An Enemy of the State, which was really my libertarian manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my third science fiction novel. And they've come up to me and said, "You changed my life." I never really realized. And it's the kind of stuff that they just don't see in school.
Right, sure.
And it was basically based on, it was a revolution where our hero, the revolutionary, used the economics of a statist regime against itself.
Now, that was sort of done in the Linnaean Chronicles, too, right?
Yes, that's what I mean. That was an enemy of state, was part of the Linnaean Chronicles.
Oh, I see.
The Linnaean Chronicles is actually a compilation of three books.
Gotcha. I didn't know that it had said Linang Chronicles on the cover, so I figured that's what it was.
So we actually talk a lot here on Free Talk Live about how we can dismantle the state as far as possible. Mark is a minarchist. He wants to keep some of it around, I guess. I'm not sure why.
I like the FAA. I don't want airplanes crashing into my house.
But generally we have conversations about what the best way is to get rid of this beast that we know of as the state. How did you do it in, or how did they do it in that novel? What do you think, is it something that could apply in the real world today?
I base it on the Weimar Republic, what I did, and how to, you know, create that type of hyperinflation.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, you know, brought down the empire, so
that's
to speak.
That's Germany before Hitler got power? Okay.
Yes. And it was a surreal time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you've ever read anything about it.
Yeah. People taking wheelbarrows full of money.
There's a story, I don't know if it's apocryphal or not, but there's a story about a lady waiting with this basket full of money online for bread. Some guy comes along, knocks her down, grabs the basket, runs off, and leaves the money.
Oh, my.
Well, they were printing the money on one side at that time. They couldn't afford the ink.
Wow.
Amazing. And then they were overprinting other bills. I mean, I used to have some of them where it would say, like, it was 50,000 marks, and then it would be overprinted with 100,000 marks.
Man. And they just double it up.
So wait, in the story, so the protagonist managed to inflate the money supply somehow?
Well, the money supply was inflated, and he just exacerbated it.
How?
I forget.
Print his own?
Well, No.
He went through a lot of, he would distribute these flyers that shook people's, confidence in the money and... Mm-hmm. and you know, just through other, he would steal the money and then distribute it to people and just give it away like Robin Hood would. And he also had a super rich millionaire guy who, he bought it all up or sold it all at all the right times or something like that. And basically ended up crashing the money supply, which when a government prints its own money, that's all it is. It is a system for protecting that money.
Right. Sounds like something that really could only happen in a book. I don't know if that's something we could really extrapolate out.
Right. No, you can't extrapolate. It was, but the thing was, it was an education in economics, basically.
Right.
Free market economics.
That. Yeah.
And because it was written in the 70s when the money supply was going crazy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the M3 was just skyrocketing, and I just saw this as a way to, just maybe raise a little consciousness while I'm telling a good story, what I hope was a good story.
Now, I hear you're a doctor.
Yeah.
Like, do you work on patients still, or?
A day and a half a week.
A day and a half a week,
oh, wow.
I see.
Huh.
Yeah, I just keep my hand in it. It's just one of those things where I'm in that Michael Corleone situation where I keep trying to get out and it keeps sucking me back.
I see that. Now, Repairman Jack has a big announcement. Could you tell us about that?
Well, it's not a big announcement in that, the movie's been in development for 11 years, but it finally looks like they've got a script that everybody agrees on. And so now they're going to the next stage of, going after a director and a star.
What sort of level of involvement as the author of the books do you have in this process?
Well, the operative word is sell. So when you sell the movie rights,
mm-hmm.
you don't own them anymore.
Right.
And so they can do whatever they damn well please.
Mm-hmm.
I always think of Lawrence Block. He had a second-story burglar character who he sold the book, the series to the movies, and they turned the, we wound up with Whoopi Goldberg, the Jewish second-story robber, and it wound up with Whoopi Goldberg playing the part.
You've essentially sold not the entire intellectual property, but the rights to create the movie on Repairman Jack.
Yeah,
do you feel like your vision will be infringed to a certain extent, or will it go?
They can't help but infringe. I mean, The Keep was made into a movie back in 80.
3. Michael Mann was the director-writer, and he just did an absolutely horrible job. It was a critical and financial flop for Paramount. He doesn't even mention it. When his latest movie comes out, he mentions all his movies. He doesn't mention The Keep.
My goodness.
And, he's a very arrogant person. And, he just thought he knew better than anybody else. And I had spent years working this novel together so that all the cards would hold up the next layer of cards. It's a house of cards. He started grabbing things off the bottom.
Yeah.
And I wrote him, I said, this is going to fall apart. And no, he didn't. He wouldn't even deign to answer me.
I see.
So, and it did fall apart. So I got like half-star reviews and headlines like, you can keep The Keep or keep away from The Keep and those kind of things.
Well, I'm sure that, let's hope the Repairman Jack movie does better than that.
Well, they've been all over the map over the last 11 years, and like Flavor of the Month. And there have been a lot of screenwriters, a lot of scripts, but they finally went back to the book, and I saw the new script came in last month, and it's great.
Okay, good.
It's really true to the book, true to the character.
So they're sort of keeping you in the loop then.
Some of the stuff that I wanted to put in, the head of the studio was uncomfortable with. Jack and this woman are walking along, and she's talking about her brother, who's really the villain of the thing. So he's gotten into this radical Hinduism, and Jack says, mix religion and politics, and people start dying. And she says, "Well, what are your politics?" And he says, "Well, how about a low-yield thermonuclear device during a joint session of Congress, preferably with the galleries full of lobbyists?"
Ooh, yeah, the lobbyists are what is killing us. Now,
she said, "That's I call that harsh." He says, "I call that a start."
Nice,
but it's not in the script anymore.
Yeah, it's got to be hard to reconcile libertarian attitudes with the people in Hollywood, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
For those who haven't heard of F. Paul Wilson, where would you recommend they start as far as reading?
I would say that the Tomb is a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
That's the start of the Repairman Jack series. And, I put off doing a second Repairman Jack novel for 14 years, but finally in 1998 I had a novel that he had to be in, and I did that, and I haven't stopped since.
F. Paul Wilson, do you have a website?
RepairmanJack.com.
Easy enough. It's been great having you on the show. Thank you very much
for
coming on Free Talk Live. We appreciate it. Hour number two is on the way. You can take control of the airwaves. More about Inus or whatever's on your mind, this is your show. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.